Thank you for being with us tonight. This is Pastor Darrell Bailey from People's Valley Baptist Church coming to you with our Wednesday night Bible study. We're continuing on our series, Tomorrow, Facing a Future Without Fear. Amen. As we started talking about this, we started talking about in a world today filled with death, pandemic, and evil, how that we're to face what feels like an unknowable future. Amen. And so I thank God, what do we do with all of the anxiety regarding the days ahead? You know, I thank God I've had to guard myself so many times against all of the false media that are out there. And some days I didn't really know what the truth was if I listened to everything. But I thank God, God has a plan and He wants every one of us to know what that is. Amen. And so I thank God in this study we provide that comfort and reassurance in living in these uncertain times. Amen. We've been talking about the good and the evil. We've talked about the afterlife. And here in this segment, it will be in three parts of the first and three parts of the second. Here on June the 3rd, 2020, of 11 of Sivan 5780 of the Hebrew calendar. And so I thank God we'll be talking about the Christ's second coming tonight. And you saw my outline. I put one up there. I'll put a PDF on sermon audio later on that will match with some of the things that I'll have in my discussion tonight in this Bible study. And so we're going to talk about the signs of Christ's coming, signs pointing to the end, and signs preceding the end. And lastly, but not least, signs accompanying the end. Now, I thank God many of you, you look and realize that Amar Safarte has a new book out that came out in March. One of the top persons that came under the ministry of Billy Graham. He was an Israeli soldier. He has got his own ministry that he does, Amar Safarte. And I tell you, if you can look him up, I told all of our church family before they ever knew he was around or existed, told them the app as well that they can get. And so I want to include a lot of you because he is one of the most important faces that knows what's going on in Israel during these times that we're in today. One of the things that he's watching is he knows that Russia is going to interfere in the coming days because Russia is jealous of what Israel is doing with all of that natural gas that they found out in the Mediterranean. They're going to run one of the longest pipelines all through the Mediterranean, all the way to Italy, over into the countries that have been dealing with Russia for many years. Russia is in bad shape in financial resources, and they need every bit of the help they can get, especially from the European Union countries. And so this is going to cut funds off. Russia is involved in everything. They're not trying to hide anything. And I thank God they're involved in everything. With Syria and everything that deals with getting them more oil and more energy that they can get their hands on. And so they're going to be behind. The future tells us that Russia is going to be involved in this. Amen. And so I thank God. But here tonight, as we look at continue our study on the second coming tonight, I thank God Paul always encouraged us in his studies that believers need to be prepared to cling to the truth of what they've been taught and to live responsibly in light of the future. And so I thank God as we look at the Word of God tonight, Matthew chapter 24 tells us that there's going to be signs that will be coming, the signs of Jesus Christ that we're going to be talking about. But one of the things I like about Matthew 24 and Luke chapter 21 is the parable of the fig tree that it talks about. Now, before I go any further, let's have a word of prayer. And let's have a short song because everyone needs to worship in your homes. And I do this not because I'm a great singer, but I do it to set an example that every one of us need to have worship involved in our Bible study. Preacher, I tell you, many of you are great singers and you can sing as good as you can preach. And you need to practice what you preach. Amen. We all need to be worshiping and we need to teach worshiping. And the only way we can do that is set the example of doing that. Amen. In front of those. Amen. Now, I know a lot of our Bible things don't like to have certain songs, but most of the songs that I normally sing are older songs. They're not copyrighted as they are today. You have to be careful about those things. And I thank God as we start on tonight, on Wednesday night, I want to send a great welcome out to all of People's Valley Baptist Church. And especially want to send it out to my aunt out in Alabama. I thank God that she's going to be having gallbladder surgery tomorrow, Beth Jean, and we're going to be lifting you up in prayer. You're in a lot of pain right now, all of the family. We'll be praying for you. Mary Senior, we're lifting you up. We love you. You continue going right on strong, being there with your daughters and your family, and we've been lifting you up, and I thank God. Dot and Jean, Jenkins, I thank God. Boy, I tell you, we miss all of y'all, and we're looking forward to this coming Sunday. If the Lord doesn't come back at 11 o'clock to 11:30 to start in our first service back at People's Valley Baptist Church. And so let's pray. Father, we lift up holy hands, and we thank you tonight for this great honor and privilege as we look into the things of the signs that you say. Now, Lord, we know that the rapture, it will come quickly. The Bible says that not even the angels know, Lord, when you're coming back for your church. But, Lord, for the second coming, Lord, I thank God, Lord, as you take this church out of here before the tribulation, Lord, when the second coming happens, there'll be all types of signs and things that will be evident. And so, Father, as we talk about those things, Lord, we've talked about the resurrection. And, Lord, we've talked about the rapture. And I pray, God, that tonight that you'll just touch all of Facebook, those on sermon audio, and Lord, bless our church family. And let us speak the word of truth tonight as we look at this series tomorrow, Facing a Fear. Lord, I thank God, facing a future without fear. And so, Father, Lord, if there's anything that's in our life that doesn't belong there, we plead the blood of Jesus. And, Lord, I plead on behalf of every lost person. May we touch someone. May we encourage them. Lord, take our family, Lord, up in Georgia, Father, Lord, those that have cancer, Lord, we're lifting them up. They know exactly who we are talking about. They've just been diagnosed with cancer, Father. And I pray, Lord, as they're my family, but there's also their leader's family. But, Lord, I love them, and I pray for them, and I pray for a healing for each and every one of our friends, our loved ones that are going through cancer right now. My uncle, my aunt, Lord Lee Thomas, Bradford Thomas, all of them, Lord, I lift them up and I pray for them tonight. And I ask you to be the great physician in their life. And Lord, thank you for a great mother that I still have in my life that I love and I'm so thankful for. And Lord, I pray, bless our wife and our families in Jesus' name. Amen. Boy, it's good to be with you tonight. And let me reach over for an old hymnal. Amen. Over here real quick. We want to sing something that's in the future, praise God. Won't it be wonderful there? Amen. When with the Savior we enter the glory land, won't it be wonderful there? Ended the troubles and cares of the sorry land, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there? There where the tempest will never be sweeping us, won't it be wonderful there? Sure that forever the Lord will be keeping us, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there? Amen. Well, I know it's going to be wonderful there. I live for heaven and for the Lord coming back. Amen. And so I thank God, as we were talking about Matthew chapter 24 and the parable of the fig tree, and even in Luke chapter 21, we read about Jesus talking, taking his disciples up to the Mount of Olives. Now, I thank God, Brother Bob Carroll and myself, back in 2008, when we went up to the Mount of Olives and looking at these olive trees that have been there since the day of Jesus. Oh my goodness, as you go all the way back to the very beginning, I thank God there's nothing like being on the same place, that maybe stepping somewhere where Jesus might have stepped. Amen. Hallelujah. But I thank God, you know, the parable of the fig tree. Jesus, he's taken his disciples up to the Mount of Olives, which overlooked the temple. And I thank God Jesus answered the disciples' question, I thank God, in that passage to come, amen, to be known as the Olivet Discourse, because it was given on the Mount of Olives, and it was found in Matthew chapter 24. It could be divided into two parts, because the future of Israel, in verses 4 all the way down to verse 31 of Matthew chapter 24, and the future of the church. Matthew chapter 24, verses 32 to 51, amen. Well, I thank God, it first starts out in Matthew chapter 24, the destruction of the temple that was predicted. And then it talks about the abomination of desolation in verses 15 down to 20. But then it goes into the great tribulation in verse 21. And I thank God, as we're talking about this, we're talking about the future of Israel, all the way up to verse 31, that it deals with this, amen. And then in verse 27, it talks about the coming of the Son of Man. It says in verse 27 of Matthew chapter 24, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west," other words, to proclaim the most cataclysmic event that the world has ever known, amen, "so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." In other words, no one will have to ask that it's really Christ. They're going to know that it's Christ, amen, during this time. It says, "For wheresoever the carcass is," speaking of the battle of Armageddon, amen. I thank God, you know, as I was talking earlier about Amar Safarte, his house overlooks the battlegrounds of Armageddon, the Valley of Megiddo, and he gets up every morning and drinks a cup of coffee and looks out across there, amen, and begins to look and see that one of these days that he's going to be up and out of here with a rapture, amen, and he'll not see any of the horrible things of the tribulation. That's exactly right, amen. But thank God, here we see the coming of the Son of Man, and he talks about all of the things, but he says in verse 29, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken." Verse 30, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, pertaining to the second coming, which will take place in the midst of the earth and heaven's shaking events. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Now, I thank God that's talking about the future, amen. I thank God way before this ever happens, the church is raptured out according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, amen. But I thank God here we see a little bit further on in verses 32 all the way down to verse 51. This is the parable of the fig tree, and it's the future of the church. Hallelujah. I thank God he says in these verses, he tells us, of course it goes all the way down to verse 51, amen. Here and even further down, the parable of the faithful and the unfaithful servant, amen. Now, thank God, as we look at this and begin to see this, we see some of the complications, because out of this, the first portions, Jesus speaks to the disciples as Jews, but in the second, he talks to them as members of the soon-to-be church, waged in between those significant passages verse 4, that's significant, and it's remarkable because Jesus tells the parable about the fig tree. And we learn that this parable from the fig tree, that he says, "When its branches has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all of these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you," listen, he says, "I say to you, this generation will be by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." Now, I thank God the point to recognize is that Jesus says this is a parable, and it's not some kind of a lesson, amen. It's not some kind of farmer's almanac. Jesus is telling the story about something that represents a major part in the future, amen. That fig tree starts sprouting, you know, and that means it's almost summer. Those are very important words, amen. You're not just hoping for the summer or longing for the summer. There's no doubt that a sprouting tree means that spring is about to move off the scene. And I thank God, be replaced by warmer weather. Once more, Jesus said that when you see these signs, you will know that the time is near. You won't simply hear about the sprouting tree or think about it or maybe dream about it. You with your own two eyes will recognize these signs, those that are left behind. And those Jews that have never believed the Messiah to be who He is, you're going to see it all firsthand. You will. You'll still be here and you'll witness every bit of the signs. And so I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a horrible time that we're going to get into in those days, amen. But I thank God every one of you, ever since Jesus came into my heart and life, I'm never more America than anyone else in America. But I've got a different passport, praise God, that the Lord gave me because my citizenship is in heaven. And I thank God I'm waiting for the Savior to come back for the church, amen. Boy, I thank God we've got a wedding to go to. And I thank God, hallelujah. Boy, I thank God according to the Word of God, amen, He's promised us that He's coming back to rapture us out, amen. And so I thank God when you get into the future events, you've got an application bridge. Now when you look at my PDF later on sermon audio, I'll have this application bridge on there. How do you apply an application bridge to Scripture when you're studying prophecy, amen. I thank God. You know what? You start with then, and you go to now, and you've got a timeless principle where there's a bridge that goes from then to now, amen. In other words, then is the interpretation. The timeless principles of the bridge is the implication. And then the now is the personalization, amen. Boy, I thank God, every one of us, as we look and realize that from the then to now, with a bridge between the two, being the timeless principle from God's holy, infallible Word. In order to walk across that bridge, amen, you've got to ask yourself three questions, amen, concerning Bible passages, amen. And I thank God, three questions, amen. Number one, what the Bible passage mean to the original hearers that were listening, amen. Much of the prophecy about the second coming is apocalyptic literature from the Greek word apocalypse, which means to unveil or to reveal. And I thank God it's a type of writing designed to make the truth clear to some while hiding it from others, amen. And so I thank God you'll understand why God chose to hide the meaning from some in all of the things that you read about the beast and the horns and the seas, that we've got difficult times of understanding. They'll be perfectly understood by every one of those that know the Bible, that read the Bible, because it will be clear to you as the days go by each and every day. Amen. I thank God. You say, well, are we getting closer to the rapture? Remember what I said earlier. Hey, how do I know? Because nobody knows, not even the angels in heaven. Yes, we're getting closer to the sign of the times, of the end of times, but nobody knows when that is, because nobody knows when the rapture is going to take place. It's going to come and catch everybody off guard. Amen. And I thank God nobody knows when it is. But the second coming, those that are left behind, those that are around, they're going to be able to see the signs for what they are. Even though they failed to get saved, and then they get saved, it'll cost them their life during the tribulation. But they're going to see all of the horrible things that are going to be happening. And they are going to know without a shadow of a doubt that the Lord is getting closer and closer to coming back. To ending every bit of that, amen, and bringing it to a total resolve, amen. And so I thank God as we look and realize that that application bridge is something that's mighty powerful that we look at from God's Word when we begin to take those three questions. And so the first question we asked ourselves as we go across that bridge of looking at Scripture, what did the Bible passage mean to the original hearers, amen, is what we asked ourselves, amen, to unveil to us and to understand, amen. And so I thank God that's one of the things that we'll ask ourselves as we go forward, amen. And so I thank God as we look back at all of the years of what God has been doing and wanting us to know, amen. And so the second thing is what is the underlying timeless principle that He has for all of us? I'm going to tell you what the underlying timeless principle is. It is in the word called hope. Because every one of us, we're hoping each and every day that we know that the Lord, because of what He promised us, we have hope no matter if there's a coronavirus. I tell you, I just found out last night that my good friend Rick Bell that I work with, that was an engineer with Sekisui Juicy, with a Japanese company, Fred Sales, all of us, Cheryl, we all worked together for years over at Sekisui Juicy for a Japanese company, that wherever he's at now, he's just come down with a coronavirus. And so I want you to keep my good friend Rick Bell in your prayers when you pray. We'll be lifting you up, Brother Rick. As many times me and him went to Holland together and spent a good bit of time together, working together at Sekisui Juicy. I'll be praying for him and his recovery of the coronavirus as well. Amen. And so I thank God those three questions. So what did the Bible passage mean to the original hearers is what we ask ourselves when we look at any scripture. The second thing is, what is the underlying timeless principle in the Word of God? The word hope. Amen. And I thank God that third question that we asked ourselves, where or how, listen, where or how could I practice this principle? And much as we talk about the time and the events of the second coming, the Bible emphasizes the application of this truth in all of our lives every day. It's a sin to study the second coming looking for only timetables. Amen. Because the message of hope must make an impact on the way that we live. Remember, it is a message to obey, not just to listen. Amen. And so I thank God each and every one of us every day as we look at the Word of God. Amen. James chapter 1 verse 22. Tells us that we've got to be able to listen and also obey the Word of God, amen. And so knowing what is right to do, amen, then not doing it is a sin, according to James 4:17, amen. And so far too many believers have a fascination with the future without any application for today, amen. And so I thank God, every one of us, as we begin to look and realize that God wants to bless us tremendously, amen. And so as I said, He said, but be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves, your own selves, amen. And so I thank God, every one of us, as we look, He says, therefore to him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is a sin. And so far too many believers have a fascination with the future without applying the application for us. And so there's warning labels. Just like you got warning labels on a hair dryer that says, don't drop it in no water, you're going to get electrocuted, amen. There's warning labels, and don't lose the delight in all the details, because when you begin to study prophecy and the future, everything has a warning label on it, amen. Don't lose the delight in all of the details, because I thank God I'm looking forward to what the Lord has in store for the future church and for every one of us, amen, today, amen. I thank God I'm going to quote Billy Graham, because Billy Graham said this. He says, once in a museum in Paris, he said, I stood inches away from a large impressionistic painting by Regnier. He said, what in the world is that? And he said, I wondered out loud. My wife answered, said, stand back, Bill, and you're going to see it. And I had stepped in too close to this masterpiece. And he said, and all of a sudden, the individual details in each of the oil spots and brush strokes kept me from seeing the entire picture of the whole thing, amen. He said, I was bogged down by all the details, but when I stood back, the mysterious puzzle disappeared, and then the beautiful vision of the artist began to form into my brain. He said, for too long, too many of us have stood too close to the apocalypse of John the Revelator, and we've turned that great masterpiece into a series of blotches and of brush marks, and we tried to outguess each other at all of the modern meanings of every star, every dragon, and every number, and we've lost the grand design of the prophet's vision, and we've missed the urgency of his warnings, unquote. And so I thank God. My prayer is that during this sessions of studying about Christ, the second coming, that we're going to get closer to our Lord and Savior and have more assurance for the future that we don't have anything to worry about. Amen. And so I thank God. We got a warning to watch out for all of the things where we begin to get into it and look at it in the wrong manner, amen. And we're looking at it so close that we don't step back and begin to let the Holy Spirit open up our understanding to understand what the Lord is trying to tell us, amen, with the things that we're doing. And so I thank God as we look forward, we come to that first thing that I asked in my outline is, number one, the signs of Jesus coming. Amen. I thank God, every one of us, when we drive down the freeway, there's all kinds of signs that give us directions and distances. And the Bible tells us that God set up some very clear signposts in our world to tell us that Jesus is coming again. Amen. And so I thank God as He begins to tell us the details about these things, that He's coming back. Amen. Of every detail. Amen. Some of these signs can be seen today, and others are coming a little bit later. But in fact, there are three types of signs that we need to be aware of. Number one, signs that are pointing to the end. Other words, the beginning of the birth pains. You know what? As everything was from the beginning, it has to go back to that. I thank God, just as Noah was spared, the Bible says, from the flood, amen, his family was spared from it. I thank God each and every one of the church are going to be spared from the tribulation, amen. And so I thank God there's going to have be some things that are going to come full-blown all the way back around. And I thank God, get ready for the church to be out of here, amen. And once the church is out of here, then the second coming is going to transpire. But there's going to be 7 years of tribulation, amen. And so I thank God. And so signs that are pointing to the end, and they start showing the birth pains that are going to take place. The second thing of these signs that we're looking at is signs that are immediately preceding the end time events, amen. And then signs that's going to, thirdly, accompany the end time events. And so I thank God, of all the things, we see the beginning of the birth pains. These are signs, but not signs that we will see only at the very end, amen. They're signs that have been shown for believers for 2,000 years. Hey, how about 2,800 years to be close? And I thank God. God has a plan for every one of us, amen, that you can better believe that it's been laid out, amen. Everything that is transpiring now, God already knew that it was going to take place. He already knew that everybody was going to do what they were doing, amen. And so for thousands of years, we've been able to look at these and say, this world is not as stable as it's sometimes seen, because Jesus, it could come at any moment, amen. He can come at any moment, praise God. And I thank God, He tells us in Mark chapter 13, He says, and Jesus answering them, began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for much needs be, but the end shall not be yet. And so I thank God, that's one of the scriptures that He begins to tell us about out of Mark chapter 13, verses 5 through 8, that He tells us about these things, amen. And so I'm glad that He keeps us, the church, informed, amen, to know exactly the warning labels that He's got for each and every one of us, amen. As we take that one good look, amen, out of all the things, 216 chapters that are in the New Testament, and over 300 references to the return of Christ in the New Testament, amen. But listen to me though. There's also one out of every 30 verses in the Bible mentions the subject of the end of time. But you've got to take not only the New Testament, you've got to take the Old Testament and look at every bit of those things to know exactly what's transpiring and what's taking place, amen. And so I thank God as we look and realize that out of all of these things that talk about the signs of the end of time, amen, as we go forward, it is these three types of signs that we look at. Signs pointing to the end, which is the birth pains, signs that immediately preceding the end time events, and signs that are accompanying the end time events as well, amen. And so I thank God as we look and realize that as these signs, number two, that are pointing to the end, amen, of these things. Well, I thank God as we look and realize that for all of the thousands of years that this has been transpiring and taken, that I've read to you out of Mark chapter 13, verses 5 through 8, that tells us about these things, amen. And so the signs of Jesus is coming, they're going to be just like they were out on the roads, amen, today, that they'll be able to see them. Those folks during the times of the tribulation, they'll be able to recognize it for what it is. But I'll get to my second question, and that is, my second outline is signs pointing to the end. Signs pointing to the end, because what did we read, amen? I thank God we talked about false Christ, amen. There's going to be false Christs that's going to be out there. Amen. You can take your Bibles back over to Mark chapter 13. I'm over in Matthew 24, but in Luke, but Mark chapter, I'll get over there in just a minute. Just give me a few seconds here. Just don't want to get in there. Come on. Boy, I love them pages turning. Mark chapter 13. I'm glad I can wet my finger. I mean, I ain't outside somewhere where all these germs are. But you know what? I always say, little germs ain't never hurt nobody. Amen. They're my germs. Amen. And so Mark chapter 13, where it talks about the signs of the end of times. And the Bible says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, tell us, what shall these signs be, and what shall be the sign when all of these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answered them, began to say, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles, and these are the beginnings of sorrows. Amen. And so I thank God, as we read, we see first of all the signs pointing to the end, the false Christ with false signs and miracles. Amen. That all claim to be somebody. There's been many of them that have come in every generation that claim to be Jesus. And every generation of those who are deceived by their lies. Amen. And so we talked about the signs of Jesus coming, but the signs of pointing to the end. False Christ is what Mark 13 was telling us about. It talked about wars, that there's wars right now where there's rumors of wars. Amen. Pointing to the end. Amen. And so there's false Christ, there's wars, there's earthquakes, amen. Why are there so many fascinations with earthquakes? Boy, I tell you, especially in California, all the earthquakes that take place out there, just so many things all over the world today that we see signs of. And so false Christ, wars, earthquakes, and famines. We should do all that we can to feed the hungry, I believe. That's one of the things our church at People's Valley has done in the past 19, 20 years since the Lord's been letting me minister with all those good people over at People's Valley over there. Boy, I'm going to tell you, I ain't just saying it. They're good people, amen. They love the Lord, and they've taken the food to the community, and they've done it very well, amen. I'm a pastor, and I can brag on them because I saw it firsthand, and I thank God for a flock that loves taking care of meeting needs in the community, and they've done it for many years, amen. And so I thank God. These are the signs that point to the end that will all be summed up at the end. Now, I'm at about a half an hour now, and I've done got two questions, amen. I'm going to try to move a lot quicker if I can. He says there's going to be false Christ, false signs leading to the great final Antichrist with great false signs that will fool many, according to 2 Thessalonians 2:9 and Revelation 19:20, amen. He tells us there will be famines in various places leading to great worldwide famine in the end, according to Revelation chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, amen. And so I thank God, all of the things that's going to happen in those days, Jesus said, you're going to know that it's when the signs I'm coming back, amen. You're going to be able to look, and you're going to see it for what it is, amen. That the signs of Jesus is coming, signs that's pointing to the end, amen. Here Jesus has a warning about these signs. He says, don't be deceived by all of these things that you see, amen. Even the Antichrist is going to come and make himself known. The church won't know nothing about any of that. We'll be raptured out, amen. And so I thank God of all the things. But it brings me to my third one. Signs of Jesus coming. Second, signs pointing to the end. But the third, signs preceding the end, amen, that we're talking about tonight. These signs preceding the end are the signs that tell true believers that the end is right. And they will be people that will be saved during the tribulation time, that they will know that this is the Lord coming back, amen. These signs don't tell us exactly when Jesus will return, but that's the time is close, amen. And so I thank God we compare to it as we go to like a movie theater. When the lights begin to get dim, you know the movie's just about to begin, amen. I always say, I'm looking for the exit sign, church, because the rapture is coming close for us, and I'm always looking because the Lord's got that exit sign that's going to come out of nowhere, and I thank God the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and every one of us, man, I tell you, I just picture it every day. Me and the wife's going to be in the house together, and all of a sudden, we're going to be up, up, and away. I'm going to be looking at Lena and say, here we go, babe. We're up and out of this place. Praise God, it's all behind us now. We're going to shed behind all of this trouble and sorrow and be in the very presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so I thank God, what a wonderful time. And so it brings us to the signs of preceding the end. Now, thank God he tells us, he says there's going to be apostasy. Apostasy is a word that you need to know, and it refers to those who seem to have faith, yet turned away in total denial, amen. And so I thank God he says there's going to be apostasy, amen. A couple different kinds of apostasy is in verses Matthew and 2 Timothy that he talks about these things. That are going to be coming before us, amen. And so I thank God. I'll see if I can get my scripture over there very quickly to read those for you, amen. And so I thank God as he's talking about apostasy. He tells us out of, I believe out of Matthew chapter 24, he says, and then, verse 10, he says, and then shall many be offended. In other words, some Jews is going to accept Christ, which will be the offense to others. But he says, and shall betray one another and shall hate one another, amen. The Jews that accept Christ will be burnt of this animosity, in other words. In other words, at any time, many will turn and begin to see the difference, amen, of what the Lord is going to do, amen. And so I thank God, each and every one of us, as we look and realize that the tremendous blessing, the signs that he's going to be showing those ones during that time, preceding the end, amen, that's going to be talking about. But I thank God he tells us in Matthew 24, verse 10, as I read, amen, that he says, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear, amen. And so I thank God. You know what? We also see a little bit further on in 2 Timothy 4:3. Here is the last charge that the Bible talks about. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Amen. And so I thank God. In Matthew 24:10, people are going to turn away from the faith entirely, is what the Bible's telling us, and they're going to be fair weather Christians, amen, trying to get a blessing from God without making any real commitment. That's exactly what I see out there today in America, amen. And 2 Timothy 4:3 tells about a different kind of apostasy, those who want to stay in the church but change its teaching to suit their own wants rather than the Word of God, especially these homosexuals, amen. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. The Bible is what it is. You don't change it for you or nobody else, praise God. It's Word of God, and you can't change it, and you ain't got the power to change it, amen. I don't have the power to change it. It is the Word of God, amen. And so I thank God, every one of us, he says these times that we're in, when he's talking about the signs preceding the end, he says it's going to be an increase of personal evil that's going to be coming our way. Apostasy and a personal evil. He said, where are you getting that from? 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 1 through 5, he tells us that there will be terrible times in the last days of apostasy. He says, this know I, that in the last days perilous times shall come. It that speaks of the difficult, dangerous times when Christians living just before the rapture will encounter, amen. And then people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. He goes on, he says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and unthankful and unholy, amen. Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those who are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than of God. And I thank God they're having a form of godliness, but denying its power and having nothing to do with them. This is all 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 that tells us this, amen. He says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power of, amen, from such turn away. Well, I thank God that's what he tells us. But remember where we were at a while ago in Mark chapter 13. I'm going to go back up to verse 12. Hallelujah, in that wonderful Word of God, amen. He tells us, he said, the signs of the end of time. He says, now, I'm going to read Mark 13, verse 12. He says, now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. But I thank God, every one of us, he says, according to this, that he's telling us, he says, the scoffers will come. And I thank God the scoffers will come according to 2 Peter 3:3, amen. Knowing that these ones, he says, here he says in 2 Peter 3:3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers. And it speaks of the times in which we now live. They scoff at the cross is what they scoff at, amen. Walking after their own lust, which happens when the cross is being rejected by these ones that are out there in the world today. Amen. And so I thank God you've got to understand that in the last days, these scoffers will come and they're going to follow their own evil desires. And so there's going to be apostasy. There's going to be increase of personal evil. They're going to be the scoffers that have come and many false prophets that the Bible tells us about. Amen. These are all signs of the end time. Amen. Signs preceding the end. I thank God that he tells us this often. Matthew 24. Notice I read that earlier over in Matthew chapter 24. I'm going back to it as well. Mark 13. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 11, he says, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Amen. Again, what has been here throughout history will increase to the end of times. People will turn away from the faith, and it's sad to know today that this is going to be happening, but it's all dealing with signs preceding the end in the future days. Amen. We won't see a lot of this. Because we'll already be gone and raptured out, amen. But many false prophets, amen, that it talks about in Matthew chapter 24, amen, that they're going to turn away from the faith and evil will increase, amen. And people will make fun of the faith. False teachers will be very popular during these times. I thank God, could any of this affect you or me in our personal way? Of course it will. We need to be ready for every bit of that, amen. Determine now what these experiences will not make you think that God has abandoned you, because God's promises is sure and amen, amen. And I thank God he's bringing this world to a close. Even with what's happening with this virus, we're getting just a little bit closer to home. You know, some things may not make sense. At the end, there'll be a strong and a clear. There'll be a for or against. But when it comes to faith, I can't imagine Jesus returning even with one person sitting on the fence as their salvation. Because it's clear, people. I'm going to tell you, church, it's clear, amen. It will be separate in two different camps. You won't have to, what's what here? You're going to know that Jesus is this, and you're going to know evil is that, amen. It's going to be clear. And so what have I talked about tonight? Signs of Jesus coming, signs pointing to the end, signs preceding to the end is what I'm talking about. But my fourth and last thing, and I'm at 42 minutes, again, trying to get through. Lastly, a closing, signs accompanying the end, amen. The end is the engine that's fallen out, amen. By this time, everyone will know that the end is here, amen. And so I thank God, signs that will be taking place, amen. The signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars that it's talking about as I continue to share scripture with each and every one of you, amen. And look, as I pull it up on the Word of God, amen, very quickly here before you. Let me see if I can get this thing up in front of me real quick here. The fourth thing, and that is that it talks about this for us. And that is, they're going to be, give me just a minute. There we go. Signs accompanying the end. And the signs of the sun, the moon, and the stars. And I thank God, and that's talking about Jerusalem. Amen. And it's telling us in our scriptures, amen, in Luke chapter 21, verse 25, he says, listen, he says, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distresses of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. And so I thank God, each and every one of us, as we look and realize that Jerusalem that he's talking about, he says, you know, today, the blood moon a while back got everybody's attention in Jerusalem, amen. There are going to be signs that are accompanying the end, amen. And so I hope and pray that he says there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. And in Matthew, that he tells us in Luke 21:25, and also he tells us in Matthew 24:29, he says, he's talking about the two disciples. He says, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. and he went in to tarry with them, amen. You know, I thank God after those days the sun was darkened, the moon will not give us light, and the stars will fall from the skies, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Matthew 24:29. When the stars fall out of the skies, it's going to be a pretty good indication that there's something wrong, amen. The roaring of the sea, heavenly bodies, that's going to be shaken, amen. And so signs of the sun, the moon, and the stars. He says the roaring of the sea, the heavenly bodies that'll be shaken, amen. And I thank God he tells us in Luke 21:25, again, here about Jerusalem. He said, there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and upon the earth, distresses of nation with perplexity, the sea and the waves that are roaring, amen. And so in Luke 21:26-27, that he continues talking, he says, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, amen. And so I thank God, he says in verse 27, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory, amen. Well, I thank God, what a great distress that's going to be taking place. And so the signs that will accompany the end, signs will the sun, the moon, and the stars, the roaring of the sea, the heavenly bodies that are shaken, the great distress that will be unparalleled, amen. In Matthew 24:21, during the great tribulation, he continues, he says, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there shall be no flesh be saved, but for the elect, talking about Israel, sake, those days shall be shortened by the second coming he's talking about. And so I thank God you've got the seven seals of the final conflict, the seven trumpets of the final destruction, and the seven bowls of God's wrath that will be finished. I thank God it starts out with the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, and the pale horse. I thank God the final destruction of the seven trumpets of the earth, the sea, the rivers, the lights, the demons, the locusts and darkness, the angels and the earthquakes of men. The seventh trumpet is the seven bowls, amen. And I thank God of the seven bowls of God's wrath that's finished, of the souls, the sea to the blood, the rivers to blood, the fire from sun, the beast kingdom, the Euphrates River that's dried up of Armageddon, the earthquake that's done. I'm going to tell you, all you know what's going to be breaking loose, amen. That's going to be happening, amen. And so it's going to be a horrible time for those ones during those days, amen. And so I thank God, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and verse 20, 12, he says, but the days of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Skipping down to verse 12, looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And so you've got it tonight, the end of the story from the mighty word of God. Revelation 21:1. A new heaven and a new earth, he says. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea, amen. And so I thank God, every one of us, as we look and realize that just as we were on the Mount of Olives back in 2008, the Lord is coming back to that very place, and he's going to split the eastern sky, amen. And boy, I tell you, it's going to divide up the country and the real estate there, amen. And I thank God as I close out tonight, I've been long-winded, but it's been about 47 minutes going. And I hope and pray that you've learned something from the signs of Jesus coming, signs pointing to the end, signs preceding the end, and signs accompanying the end, because everything that I've given you is scripture for scripture of the future events. As we've talked about Christ's second coming, remember, church, if you're a born-again believer, you're going to be raptured out. You got a wedding to go to, hallelujah, a beautiful wedding. We're the bride, and the groom is expecting all of us to be present, amen. But I tell you, keep looking up. The Lord's coming back, and he's giving you a plan, and you can keep the promise and know the promise that he's kept and given to you.